If you've heard me preach this year, you've heard me talk about the newest addition to my family, our four-legged addition. She is a German short-haired pointer, Jack Russell Terrier mix, and a rescue dog. Her name is Wilma, and she has been a delight for our family. We needed an animal who could match the energy of my two boys, and boy, God has provided for us. I'd noticed in trying to train her that she's not too impressed when I point my finger at something I need her to pay attention to. Whether it's a toy on the floor that I want her to get or a place I want her to go and lay down. Instead, she tends to want to jump up and get my finger rather than to go and get or do the thing that I am pointing at. Sometimes we mistake the sign for the greater thing that it points to. I think for us in this story, the manger is that finger. It's that pointer. It's that thing that we mistake for the true thing. A lot of churches have mangers in them. I've gotten to travel the world as a part of my teaching ministry, and I've gone into cathedrals where there have been mangers, and some of them are glorious and ornate and beautiful. But I think when we make the manger the point, we miss the point. You see, I've been focusing a lot this year on food bowls, having to feed my dog a couple of times a day. This is ever present for me. And so the manger, a feeding trough, maybe the most famous feeding trough in all of history, has really jumped off the pages of Scripture to me this year. The manger is a central part of our story, but maybe not for the reason that we think it was. It was a sign to people who needed it most of the greatest gift God had ever given coming into the world. Let's start with the context of everything that was going on. Here you have Mary, who is pregnant with Jesus, and Joseph, her fiancé, on a journey to Bethlehem because an emperor had decreed that there would be a census and all families had to return to their hometown. Now, this was a day and age before we had these newfangled apps where we could make a reservation for a room before we left on our journey. It's not like Mary, you know, poked Joseph and said, hey, did you remember to make a reservation? They didn't have that luxury. They just had to take off and head toward Bethlehem, Mary 9 months pregnant and all. We know from the story that as they got to Bethlehem, they found no room. Tradition holds that there was no guest room in the inn, but in reality, it was probably that there was no guest room to be found in any home throughout that entire community. The point is, there was no room for Jesus to be born into the world. But somebody had pity on the young couple and offered perhaps a barn, a stable, maybe the lower level of their home where animals would be kept. But this wasn't a clean place. It wasn't like the hospital rooms that my boys were born in. This was a place that didn't smell so good, wasn't all that clean. It was a place where animals ate and slept and did other things that animals do. I had to take care of those things growing up in barns around horses and cattle. It wasn't a great smelling job, but someone had to do it, Frank. The manger was mentioned 3 times in this passage by Luke. It was the place that became a cradle for a king. And I want to point out here that Jesus wasn't born in a pristine, clean hospital room. He was born right into the muck and the mire of ordinary life in the most abject circumstances one could imagine in bringing a child into the world. And yet, he came. He came at just the right time, in just the right place, to just the right people. The manger features again in this story when angelic messengers appeared in the sky to shepherds who were working the night shift. Shepherds were not the top of the societal ladder. In fact, they were despised. They were seen as dirty, other. People kept a distance from them when they might be seen on the streets of the city. Nobody would have paid attention to the shepherds doing their job at night. But God did. The first recipients of the good news were poor shepherds working their task, their trade, by night. And in the darkness of that place, God flooded the sky with light and delivered the best news they'd ever heard. But get this, it was for them, right then and there. He said, I've come through the angels to bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. Then he says, to you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And get this, this shall be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in bands of cloth and lying where? Manger. In a manger. Shepherds knew something about mangers. It's where they would feed their sheep in a season when the grass wasn't growing. They would know mangers being in caves and stables where their animals could take shelter and have all that they need. This for them was indeed good news. It was proof that God sent his son to be born right in the middle of lives just like theirs at a time that they were living in. And it was right. It was perfect. I imagine the shepherds heard the good news the angels had proclaimed and went, what? A manger? He was born in a manger? The Messiah? And so they went and they looked all around in the city of David until they found the baby who was laying in the feeding trough. Right? In the days before internet and TV news, they had to keep looking until they found the one the angels had described. I wonder if you know that Christ, our Messiah, our King, has been born to you this day. This news isn't just relegated to the annals of history. He is born in us today, to us today, to you and to me today, not necessarily in the places of power, not in the sanitized, clean places that we try to keep away from all of the messiness of this world, but right in the middle of the stuff that you're going through, right there. That's where the Savior of the world came to be among us. And so this indeed is good news for us all. He is born right in the middle of the mess that you might find yourself in at any point in your lives. Right in the place of unthinkable loss. Right in the middle of your grief and pain. Right in the center of that boardroom where your job has just been on the line for so long. Right there on the streets where you might be sleeping on a cardboard box or a mat. Right there, wherever the mess of your life is, wherever it's the messiest and the most broken, there you will find your Messiah, your Savior, your King. He delights in coming to you in those broken places to show you mercy and compassion and love beyond anything that you could ever imagine. He delights in being present to you, to being with you, to being for you. He is your advocate, your counselor, your guide. He is wonderful, mighty. He is your Savior and your King. And he was born for you, for us, this day. The manger is mentioned a third time, and it's when the shepherds found what they had been looking for. And then these people who were on the very margins of society became the first evangelists, sharing the good news of what they had found for them and for all the people. And so, friends, I want you to know that to you, to me, to us is born today a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. It's like that great Christmas hymn says, O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels their great glad tidings tell. O come to us, abide with us, our Lord, Emmanuel.